Blog Talk Radio.
Well, and praise the Lord, we're on the air. Okay, we're going to try this. I'm trying to get a song to play, then I'll be right back, Lord willing. I don't hear it, though. There it is.
Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. The disciples came to Jesus. They said, how will we know when the Son of Man will come again? Jesus told them the sign, and some of them are happening now. That's how I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Hear this. Men are lovers of themselves, proud and boasters too, covetous, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents too, unthankful, unholy, and this is the reason why I can see the end of time is drawing nigh. Can you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Men are lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's how I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. And I know the end of time is drawing nigh.
Well, praise the Lord. I am grateful to this night to the Lord Jesus Christ and very thankful that he allowed me to come on here tonight. It's been a long time since I've been on the radio. I'm not even sure how it's going to turn out. I'm not even sure. I know it's going out because I got my other phone on. That's how I listen and tell. I'm, you know, the Lord let me get home now and get on here. And I got storms passing through here, and I praise the Lord it's coming in as clear as it is. I don't know what it's like, you know, on anybody else's end, but on my end, it is clear, even though it's storming outside. I don't know how they do this now. I don't know if you can pick it up on how they do it now on this thing. I've tried it before. I went off the radio because it was when I preach on it, it was, and I tried to play it back, wasn't playing back right, and I don't know how they're doing. It might be going on YouTube or something, but I don't even know if anybody's listening tonight, you know, right now. You can tune in on your phone, you know, or go to blogtalkradio.com and go on, I believe it's Old Fast Broadcast. Or you can, you know, call in on your telephone, 646-915-9266, and listen in by phone. But anyways, I'm Brother Wally. I'm a very undeserving servant of God. I don't deserve one thing the Lord has done for me or he does for me. I'm just here tonight doing this because I feel like the Lord would have me to. And I've said this many years, I didn't even title a message, but being on the radio is a little bit different. So they lost their vision is what I feel like the Lord laid on my heart. And it was on my heart. You know, a lot of times we say the Lord, you know, laid this on our heart. And I've seen some preachers, man, say, well, God laid this on my heart, and I studied all week long. And then when somebody in their, you know, walks in their church that they think they need to get saved and everything, you know, and they say, well, God just changed my message. And I've seen that happen many, many, many times. And they not preach what God gave to them and turn it. Sometimes the Lord does, you know, I believe he does. I would say he does. I think it's going to be, I'm just going to be Wally tonight, okay? I'm going to be Brother Wally tonight in a way I'm just going to be me. If people like me, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine too. I'm not going to lose no sleep over it. But I wonder sometimes how many times we say, well, the Lord gave this to me, you know, and then he changed it. And I just don't see God every time you turn around. And I'll get into why I'm saying this in the message, I hope. That's what I'm saying. I'm really not undecided. I know which way I'm going tonight because the Lord laid it on my heart to go this way. I believe that. I was sitting there, and I wasn't planning on being on the radio again anymore for a long, long time. And then something just kind of hit me kind of odd. I've been going through some things, and I've been living in some things, you know, that's I didn't think I'd ever be in depression, but I went through a time of my own depression, it seemed like, and it hit me, and I didn't even know it hit me until after, you know, I was kind of in this thing, you know, inside something. I can't even explain it, but I don't knock anybody when they say they get depressed, and this is where it brings me to, okay? I'm just going to try to be talking like this tonight without trying to be ugly to anybody. For the pharmaceutical attitudes, you know, I want to tell y'all something out there. For the pharmaceutical attitude, saying, "Oh well, you know, you're not close to God, or you must not be right with God, or you're lost, or you need to get right with God." You know, the Baptist pharmaceutical attitude. You know, that's who I'm talking about. And there's some Pentecostals like that too. You know, and there might be others out there, but I know them too very well. And okay, so we just clear the air now. This is the way I'm going. This is the direction I'm going. I believe there's a lot of people out there, they have lost their vision. They have, maybe even you tonight, have lost your vision of really why you're in the ministry, really why God, when he saved you, God has a plan for you to do something for him. And I think a lot of people that wear suit and ties, and I'm not picking on suit and ties, and I'm saying it this way because most church people that I've seen, they go to church with suit and tie on, and you don't stink when you sweat. And I'm not trying to be ugly here, but I'm just going to be truthful with you. I think you've lost your vision. I think you've lost, and you don't understand. I really think there's so many churches out there today that really do not be Christians. Let's say Christians, okay? Because that's what you like to call yourself, okay? And I am a Christian, but I don't feel like it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I just don't feel like I don't think I'm Christ-like, and that's what Christian means. I think I can count on my hand, one hand, five fingers, of five people that I can say that I truly believe are Christians. And that's all I know. You know, you might know five more, and that'll make it 10, okay? I'm talking about real Christians. I'm talking about people that, you know, when you talk about Jesus and you look at this person and you say, wow, man, you know, they really represent Jesus Christ. But the deal I'm struggling with here in watching in live, maybe that's why I took a break for a long time off the radio. Don't know if I'll be back on again. I might come on tomorrow night. If I feel led in my heart, and yes, God does speak to me, and I know he speaks to you, and I'm not saying he don't, like I was mentioning a while ago about the, you know, changing the message, and he might change it tonight, you know, and on you. You know, you got one picked out Sunday, you know, whatever. You know, I don't have a problem with a lot of that, but the thing, I'm going to try to stay on this. You know, I'm not going to say I'm running rabbits. Maybe I'm gonna have a shotgun of scatter shot, you know, they call it scatter shot, that's going to hit everybody. Okay, and like I said, this has been a while since I've been on the radio. I sound like I'm stammering and stuttering, but I want to make this just very plain. And there's going to be might be things I share tonight. You say, wow, man, I don't know about that. Okay, and see, the one thing I've learned about Baptists, man, they don't like to be put on the spot. They like to get vicious. They like to attack you when it don't feel right on them, you know, when God's nailing things down that are going on with them. They don't like it, you know, and they start accusing you, you know, and they start telling you. And especially when, like I said, I brought that out when I'm sitting here, and I said, well, I went into a bit of depression myself. Oh, you ain't right with God, man. You need to repent and get right with God, man. Maybe you're not saved, or, man, because God's people don't do that. Well, I beg to differ, will you? Okay, just be careful, okay, because God's going to knock you off that horse one day, and you're going to say, my goodness, Brother Wally has mentioned it, and I am right there because of my pride, because of my arrogance and my stiff neck. I'm right there where he's talking about, because a lot of times, people don't see what's going on. I don't want to say outside the box, but sometimes it's good to step outside the box and see where you really are. Yeah, really. Now, and I'm saying this because, you know, I've been pondering on a lot of things, and I wonder what is the purpose. I got to think, well, what was my purpose? Okay, I'll use me, okay? I'll preach to me. I'll jump all over Brother Wally tonight. What is my purpose in the ministry of the Lord? What is my main focus in my life in the ministry for God? You know, there's a lot of people that says, you know, we're going to build this big ministry, you know, then we're going to get all the Christians together and everything, and we're going to have this grand ministry. And I think it's great. But see, God adds to the church daily, says it should be saved, not you or me or anybody else. Amen? God adds to the church. God's going to take care of his business. Problem is, we want our nose in his business, and we want things that we want. We want this grand ministry. And they say, yeah, we've lost the vision of why we are in the ministry. You know, in God's ministry, not yours, in the church. I'm talking about we are to be building the church. And a lot of you tonight don't want to build the church the way God wants to build it. Now listen to me.
She wanted to build. He said, well, we got to find all these Christians. I'm going to show you some people in the Bible that Jesus really loved. And guess what? They wasn't saved. They were sinners. Matter of fact, he had a woman there pouring oil all over him, and she was a lost sinner, and he didn't say one bad thing about that woman. Now, I see so many religious and religious, or let's say denominations, okay, because there is religion that God talks about, pure religion. Your religion ain't pure, okay? You hear what I'm saying? Unless you visit the fatherless and the widows. Oh, good night, hallelujah. You hear what I'm saying? If you're not doing that, your religion ain't pure. Now, I don't care if you're a Baptist, a Pentecost, or what you are. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have lost a vision of what we are supposed to be doing on this earth. We are supposed to be out there finding who? We are to be looking for lost people. We are to be looking for people that are groping in the darkness. You hear what I'm saying? We're not supposed to be pushing them away. Did you see Jesus push that woman away? Hey, man, she come in there, man, she was anointed him of oil. And the Bible calls her a sinner. She was a sinner. A sinner. Not a Baptist. Not saved. Not a Christian. But a sinner. A sinner touched Jesus. A sinner was washing his feet. A sinner was standing behind Jesus. And he made it very clear. He brought that out in the Bible. In your King James Bible. He called her a sinner. Yeah. A filthy, no good for nothing sinner like me one day. You hear what I'm saying? But a lot of y'all don't want none of them. A lot of y'all don't even want them in your church. A lot of y'all won't even go outside your church to bring them in when God commanded us to do that. And when a preacher, hey man, I would not come to your church. I say, you know what you need to do? I'm talking about from the pastor to everybody inside the church. You say you love Jesus. You say you're concerned about people going to hell. But you won't start outside that door. You can hear all the hell messages preached. You can preach against sinners. You can preach against the drunkards and the whoremongers and the adulterers all you want to inside the four walls of your church. But you don't do one thing outside the church. Jesus went outside the camp. I told you I'm just gonna try to talk tonight, and I'm just gonna be me, I guess. Listen to me. You lost your vision. You have all these Christians in there, and yet Jesus said, "Go compel." He said, "Compel them to come in." Who's he talking about? He's talking about those whores out there. He's talking about those hippies out there. He's talking about those dope heads out there. He's talking about those drunkards out there in your streets. And you say you love so much, but you won't go out there and do anything for them. You want your pound of pies. Just one meat pie is all they want. Amen, boy. One meat pie. And you won't even let the finger to do that. You know why? Because you lost your vision. You lost your calf and lost souls. You lost the point that God told us. I sit amongst the sinners. I just like Jesus. I sit amongst the publicans and the sinners, and I don't feel bad about it. You know why? Because Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't. Listen to me. I'm trying my best, man. I've got this thing going on in my head, and I'm trying to be careful that I don't, you know, I don't want my head to hurt tonight. And I'm trying my best. I really am, man. But I got this. I didn't know I still had the fire in me, to be honest with you. I thought Jesus and God trashed me out. And I'm eating it with all my heart. I feel like I've been put down in a chest full of crap. I feel like God thrust me down the friggin' toilet. I told you, you don't like the way I talk, leave. I don't need you on here. I'm looking for sinners. Amen. I got it right here in front of me. I got the scriptures, and I'll read them if the Lord let me. I think about a preacher friend of mine. He done gone home to be with the Lord, Brother William Holloway. Me and him were two different people, but we love the Lord. And you know what? I see old Brother Holloway, man. He's just as poor can be. Yeah, I know, man. I know. I can hear your pharisaical attitude come across the airways. Oh, my God. He should have had something. He was a Christian. Let me share something with you. What about the poor Christians, the poor saints in the Bible that Jesus said that we'll have the poor with us always? There's no guarantee because you're a Christian you're going to have money. You understand what I'm saying? You lost your vision on that. You lost your vision about the soul. But this brother Holloway, when I seen that man struggle, he had cancer. God healed him. And I know some of y'all don't even believe in healing, but I do. But he had cancer. He had blood running out of his butt. I don't know how old this was. What do you call it? Bowels or whatever. I'm just going to be taking his butt out. It's in the Bible. But he was bleeding continually. And God healed him. He prayed and asked God to heal him. And he had all, I'm telling you, man, he laid hands on people. God would heal him. Yeah, he finally died. Yeah, but he got old. And he died. He died a week after his daughter died. Yeah. But you know, old Brother Holloway used to tell me all the time. Man, he came, listen, he was one of the, he was a top, and I mean this, I've seen his work. He was an A1 carpenter. I'm talking about the best, one of the best to me in the world. That man could build anything. And yet he was still, he never cared about money. He worked to take care of his family, but he didn't try to get rich. You know what he kept telling me every time I talked to the man? He said, you know what, Brother Wally? I don't care about none of this stuff. He said, I love my wife, I love my family, but I don't care about none of this other stuff. But you know what I care about, Brother Wally? He said, when I stand before God, all I want God to say, Brother Holloway, Brother William, you've been a good soul winner, man. He said, all I care about, I want to be a soul winner. He never lost the vision of what he's supposed to be doing on this earth. He cared for lost souls, and I see the Baptists and the Pentecostals. All you care about is your business. You don't care about the lost souls. All you care about is your program. You don't care about lost souls. You don't care about people going to hell anymore. All you want is all your pizza parties and all this garbage that goes on inside churches. I'm talking about fundamental independent Baptists. You're scared to let somebody come in your church house. I'm not talking about coming in your church butt naked, but I tell you what, if that, hey, let me share something with you. If a person comes into your church and that's all they got, all, you know what, I'm not saying butt naked, you know what I mean? I don't think y'all come to church butt naked, but I tell you what, you write a sheet or something on that. Well, let me tell you something. Hey, I know I'm one of them hard preachers too, man. I preached it for years. I preached about things like that, but I never shunned the love. I didn't look at them and say, man, you need to get your nakedness covered up. I preached against it. I say things about it. Not, you know what I mean, not being ugly. I'm going to out there on the streets just preaching. Not picking on anybody. But when they come to me, I didn't care what they had on. You understand what I'm saying? They were lost. Everybody's worried now, man. You got long hair, you got shorts on, man. You're a pig, you're nothing. You're no good. I'm going to let my hair grow down to my butt, man. I'm going to walk into every Baptist church, man, and let them look at me. You strain in the night and swallow a camel. I got a friend of mine. Why call him hippie? You hear me? I want you to hear me tonight. And you can say, oh, well, they come up with all these excuses. No, you know what? You know what they got? They have a legitimate excuse. They got a legitimate comment. Because you lost your vision. But this man called Jimmy, I call him Hippie. I have known the man now, I think, for 2, maybe 3 years. He was one of my best friends. I love him to death. He got 2 ponytails. Woo! Oh, my God, you're not ready for God, Brother Wally. Well, I tell you what, Jesus sat on my board. Hello? Hey, Jesus had a horn come up was an adulteress. But you wouldn't do that, would you? No. Because your pharisaical attitude, because you lost your vision of why you're out there, you can't make anybody do anything, and I can't either. But I tell you what, I know a God man that'll come down and love him because he loved me. I used to have short, wore tank top, damn it. I'm doing just about half naked. I meant what I said about my hair. I ain't going to grow it down to my butt, but I'll tell you what, I got my hair different, man. Not to be ugly. You know why? Because that's Brother Wally. If I want to cut my hair off, I'll cut it off. I want to let you guys know something out there tonight, you preachers, you Baptists, whatever, Pentecostals. Let me share something with you. I don't have to cut my hair like you. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of bald preachers, man, they start to preach, man, you got to have these bald. What? Forget your baldness. Hey, I'm fed up with all this garbage, man. I'm fed up with the pharisaical attitudes. Well, I got a clean cut haircut here, buddy. You know, it's called a regular. They used to call it a regular boy's haircut when I was younger. A regular boy's haircut. What the heck is that? I don't know. Hey, I don't know where this is going to be. I don't know if anybody's going to get to listen, but I tell you what. I'm not being ugly. I'm trying to make a point here, and I'm going to bring up some things. You lost your vision. I ain't lost what I'm talking about. I was talking about bald heads, man. I was talking about a boy's haircut. I ain't stupid. I can dwell on that, but I try not to. What I'm saying, I don't have to have my hair cut like you. You know what I used to get? Let me, I don't care y'all talk about Baptists, okay? Well, why are you picking up Lindy? Because I was one. And I kind of am still. You can be that. I just got sick and tired of the pharisaical garbage. I used to go, when I got saved, hey, man, when I first got saved, I was going to church, man, and I had my hair combed back a little bit and had it to the side, and it wasn't touching my shoulders, nothing like that, you know. But I had it parted in the middle, and guess what? The Baptists couldn't stand it, man. They could not stand me. I'm serious. I ain't told a whole lot of folks that, but they didn't. They could not stand it. They started saying things from the pulpit, you know, that legal place of anything you can do like that. I'm here in God's pulpit, and God tells me to just preach it. Heck out of you. Woo! Don't get in the flesh, Wally. Woo, I almost did. I really want to tell you what I want to say. But I understand. There's certain things in my life that I've learned. I'm 59 and 9 months, so that makes me 60 years old. And I've learned a lot of things even about words and language. Ain't nobody got the right language. You hear me? Nobody's right. What? No, we're not right. Because everything I can be saying tonight to you right now could mean a whole totally different ballpark over in Japan. Yeah. I can give you the peace sign, what we call peace. It's really the victory sign, and everybody passes all the Baptists or whatever in Pentecost. They freak out when you give them the peace sign. Oh, my God. Something wrong with that boy. Well, it means victory. That's all it means to us. But over in, I believe it's Japan, they think it's giving a finger. You know what that means, right? But you know what? To Brother Wallet, none of that means anything to me. But if you go back and study history, you'll find out about a lot of things. You'll find out what that middle finger means. You'll find out what the V means if you just look. It don't mean what everybody's saying about it. But anyway, I'm going to try to chill out here. Like I said, I don't want a headache tonight, but if the Lord so sees fit for me to have one, I guess I have to have one. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to make some points here. Not your points. I'm talking about my points here. what I'm talking about. Okay? They lost their vision. We have to be seeking for those that are lost. That is our direction we are supposed to be going. See, the Bible says when there's no vision, the people perish. You know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's the church, man. Oh, my God, we got to have something, you know, for the church. Well, you know, and that's fine. Because the Lord says it. Remember those especially of the household of faith. But the vision, when there's no vision, the people perish. Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there. You ought to have a vision for a long soul. I'm talking about every one of you. Don't come up with these excuses. Well, I'm not the pastor, and I'm not the preacher, I'm not the evangelist. No, you're not. But everybody's responsibility in the church, not your building church, I'm talking about the church of God. We are to be a light and a testimony. We are to be reaching out to the needy. We are to be sitting amongst publicans and sinners, being a light and a testimony to them, loving them. Oh, my God, are you serious? Yeah. Have you ever gone downtown somewhere and sat there with a stinky, stinky, and I mean stinky homeless person? Have you ever went down there and put your arm around one of them and said, hey, I love you, God loves you, I want to help you? Have you ever reached out to a hippie that you so despise and said, hey, I love you, man? I'm reaching out to you, see, I ain't forgot about Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy wanted to go to church. Jimmy wanted, he did. He has a brother that's supposed to be a preacher, and he thought, his own brother ripped money off from him and called himself a Christian. What a testimony. But Jimmy did go to a church. He went in red, white, and blue. He had striped his pants on. I think in a red shirt. He had white and blue pants, striped, and a red shirt. And he told me, he said, Wallace, I went in there to see how they're going to treat me. And he said, you know what? Not one of them Christians came up and talked to me. I said, yeah, I know, Jimmy. I know how it is, man. I understand. I know, man. I don't blame you for feeling the way you do. I wouldn't go back to that church either. You know what? You lost your vision. The church lost their vision. The church, the Christians that call themselves Christians, the Baptists, the Pentecostal, you know, nobody gets outside their building. If they put it off on somebody else and then they get mad at you, I've had even friends that, well, you know, that ain't me. God didn't call me that. Hey, I ain't talking about preaching from the pulpit. I'm talking about going out in the street to compel them to come in. He's not telling you to compel the saints to come in because the saints will come in. But the love, you got to go out there and love them. You got to go out there and talk to them. You got to show them. You can become all things to all men. You understand what I'm saying? You can become all things without violating God's word. Listen, people don't come to Jesus on your terms. We're not here to live by your terms or my terms. We're here to live in this nasty, God-forsaken world. But there are people out there tonight that I've learned, I've watched, I know some people in my own family that are struggling, they're hurting. I got friends, people that I know that are struggling and hurting. Some of them are not saved. A bunch of them say, you know what? I don't want to go to that church, man. You know, and for you street preachers and stuff that go out there, why do you go out there if you don't want them to come to your church? I've never understood that. Well, you know, we don't want them coming because they're lost. My God. Do you know that, like, I'm going to read it to you, okay? Let's see if I can find it here. I'm going to pass on this one right here for right now. I want you to see something here. If I can find it. If I remember where I'm at here. Okay. So you can't say I didn't read no. I got a bunch of scripture. I don't never come on here without scripture, man. I got it. But I just think you lost your vision. I want you to see something. I really want you to see this. In Luke chapter 7, verse 28, it says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Baptists, oh, I'm sorry, it says Pharisees, and the Pentecost, oh my God, the lawyers, rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the man of this generation? Or to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, calling one to another and saying, we have played unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came, is come eating and drinking. I ain't going to go there yet. Maybe next week. I could touch on this, but I don't know about to. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. He couldn't be a Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is here. John the Baptist, they call John the Baptist not because he was a Baptist, but because he was a baptizer. That ain't where the Baptist church came in. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't care. Don't listen to me. I listen to a lot of you guys out there, a lot of people out there preaching and everything, and I might not agree with you on everything, but I listen to you, and I ain't got rid of you. I still love you. But Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. It says, but wisdom is justified of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he, what? A Pharisee? Jesus went and ate with a Pharisee. And he went into the Pharisee's house. Hello. And sat down to meet. Now, check this out. Here's Jesus, a man that sits with publicans and sinners. He didn't say not one religious person, not one Baptist, not one Pentecost, not one Church of Christ, not one denomination other than the Pharisees. Right? That was a sect of people, I think. Okay, Pharisees and Sadducees and hypocrites. But here's Jesus, goes to this man's house, in his house. Now he's in this man's house, sitting down with a Pharisee, sitting to eat with him. Oh, dear God, Jesus, what's wrong? Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus, you done messed the Baptist church up. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, what are you doing? Oh, we got to cast them demons out in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You lost your vision. Listen to this. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Sat down with this Pharisee. And behold, take notice, now listen, in this man's house, this woman a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. This woman goes into somebody's house where Jesus is, and surely she was not invited. And surely I don't see Jesus freaking out in the Pharisee's house. This sinner, my goodness, comes walking into this man's house with ointment, an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping and begging to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. This is a sinner now. You know, the one that saved people don't fool with, you know, they wouldn't dare let them come in their house, you know, because, and I understand, there's some people I agree with, they don't need to come in your house. You ought to have enough wisdom about you. But this woman right here, she come in this man's house, sitting, standing behind Jesus, and Jesus did not turn around and rebuke her. He said, get out of here, woman. You don't know what you're, what are you doing? You're a sinner. Get away from me. You're a sinner. Now, you lost your vision. Our vision is to seek for those that are lost. All of us. We are all to be out there seeking for the lost souls. But no, we got our dreams on everything else. Build a big church. Try to build a big congregation. Jesus and God. Listen to me. God will answer your church daily. Now, when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke with him in him within himself. Here you go now. I don't know which one he is. Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, Apostolic. I don't know which one guy he is. He's a Pharisee. Yeah, I've been whatever you want to call it. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. He knew who she was. He knew she was a sinner. He knew that the others wouldn't. They didn't want her. He knew that she'd been out there on the streets and was a sinner, and he knew her lifestyle. He knew all about her. But you didn't see Jesus say, hey, woman, get out of here. You're nasty. You need to get saved. No. He didn't. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She had some long hair, didn't she? Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, this sinner now, you hear what I'm saying? This woman, this vile woman, this wow, yeah. That most people don't want in the church. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head, withal thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, But that whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee, or forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. She was a lost woman sitting there, coming inside this Pharisee's house, and anointed Jesus, crying at his feet. She was in repentance. She knew who Jesus was. And Jesus knew who she was. And guess what? Jesus didn't kick her around. Jesus didn't freak out. He didn't do anything like that. He even used her as an example. And she was a sinner. Oh, my gosh. Hey, people have lost their vision. Jesus commanded us. What does it mean? I see these things been running through my head. See, I ain't been on here in a very long time. And tonight, on my daughter's birthday, it's amazing. I'm on the radio, and I got all these questions about things and people. How come is it that if Jesus kept searching for souls, whether they were sinners or not, and he didn't care if this woman came in and even anointed him and she was lost, why is it it seems like that the people that call themselves Christians really don't care about the lost like they say they do? See, I'm trying to be kind. I'm not a mean preacher. I don't even feel like a preacher. I'm just talking. Jesus, he sat amongst publicans and sinners. Right? He sat amongst publicans and sinners. And not one time have I read so far in this Bible that Jesus ever kicked them around and said they were, they're not worthy to be in his presence. They're not worthy to be in his congregation. Let me share something else with you. If I sound like I'm running rapids, I might be. I'm not. But that's like I told a preacher not long ago. I said I'm not running rapids. I'm just putting everything out there I'm supposed to. I really believe we've lost the purpose in our lives. I think we've lost our vision. I think we quit really seeking. You know, I see a lot of people go out on the streets and stuff and preach. I've been in a lot of churches, and they attack the sinner. They don't, and I understand how people get. I understand how they could say, well, that guy there, man, I just don't know, man. He jumps in the face. I've seen preachers on YouTube and everything, man, they jump in their faces. Instead of walking off, they want to fight. And that's like all these guys, man, they go to and you might be one of them. You might not like me. I said, I don't really care. I'm not here, for you. I'm not. I want to win souls, just like Brother Holloway said. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a person that cares for other people. I don't want to look at them and say, man, I can't care for you because the way you look or the way you dress or whatever. I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to sit amongst publicans and sinners. Yeah. Don't bother me one bit. That's like I said, Jesus, man, he done it. I can do it. He commanded us to go out there and get them. He said to compel them to come in, and yet you won't do that. You know, you like to sit inside the four walls of your building, and you scream and holler at them people that you say that you love, and you're just pushing the hell out of them, and they're not even there. Yeah, you just, you know, and I've seen the church become it's a boxing ring. And then the vultures inside the church have many jump up. Yeah, preacher! Tear it up, preacher! Just tear it up! Going to the singers, man, and inside of a congregation, man, that's all you're doing. Everybody's becoming vultures for people just to, like chickens, man. You see some blood in their head and they'll eat you up and you say. I've been there. You hear me? I've been there a few times in my life preaching like that, man, just preaching like, boy, you think you, man, you're on fire. And the whole time, you're sitting there, and these lost people. Grandstand, man, and all the people, man, all them excited young preachers and them preachers, man, them older preachers, man, boy, everybody jumped up, and you know what? We ain't done nothing. All we've done is excited our flesh, man, excited something inside of us, and we're jumping up saying, you know, yeah, no, and there's nobody there for that. Because, see, you won't allow the lost sinners in. See, used to, when I was a younger, when I first got saved, man, I was knocking doors, I was driving the church bus, I was doing everything I could, and I had people come to the church because I don't want them here. You know, and then a person, listen to me, Brother Holloway, I'm going to tell you something about him. I'm going to tell you, Brother Holloway never stopped loving God, and he was treated like garbage, and he was a Christian. And you know who treated him like garbage? Christians. You know what they used to do to Brother Holloway? Because his family, he was poor. But you know what they used to do to his children and him? The church would be having, a get-together and eating. Well, him and his family came to the church one night, and they were having soup and all that, you know. And you know what? It was raining that night. And you know what these Christians have done to him?
in the time is drawing nigh. Can't you see the in the time is drawing nigh? I see the signs on the land, destruction in the sky. Thank you.